we're in for a long one.
A long weekend, that is. And you deserve to spend it on the couch with a glass of something good. Luckily, there's Drizly, the number one app for alcohol delivery. With Drizly, you can compare prices on the biggest selection of beer, wine, and spirits, then get them delivered quickly. So download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's drizly.com today.
You're talking swimming pigs, beautiful Bahamian islands, beautiful models, beautiful parties.
Build as the vacation of your dreams, your own private island featuring luxury accommodations, gourmet food, and top musical artists like Migos, Major Lazer, and Blink 182. But in reality,
turn this bus right around.
There was no Lux Lodging. No supermodels to be found.
CBSNews.com reports Kendall Jenner and other top models can be subpoenaed after the fiasco over the Fyre Festival.
The Fyre Festival. It's the greatest music concert that never happened. You've probably watched the documentaries on Hulu or Netflix that show how this whole thing was the biggest scam from start to finish. And if you haven't watched them, please go and watch. Like, I'm begging you, you have to watch these. I'll do anything to get, I'll suck your dick.
You're listening to the Cobras and Fyre podcast, part of the Decibel Geek Podcast Network. We promised you arugula, and damn it, you're getting arugula.
What kind of woman got a heart of stone? But what you bring when I get you alone? Take a chance, come lay down with me. Oh, I wanna make it. Slow, steady, never lost the race. Don't stop running.
Welcome to Cobras and Fyre. I'm your host, Liz Cannon, and I'm joined, as always, with the Macro Baco. How are you, sir?
What's up, my squishes?
I like it. Is that your new tagline?
Yeah, I'm rolling with it. I'm just got a whole new line of t-shirts coming out, bumper stickers, keychains, all sorts of shit, man. What's up, my squishes is my new slogan.
I do have to say that episode by episode, we are fulfilling our destiny of being a morning zoo show.
Yeah. We're getting, every now and then we get pretty close to the line, don't we?
With the names and everything like that.
And today, recording in the morning.
Yeah, I just opened up a beer, which I'll speak of in just a moment, at 10:30 in the morning. My time, which is, what time is it where you are?
It's just a quarter past two.
Good. At least the time...
Well, at least according to my computer, that's never been hooked to the internet.
Okay, good. All right, anyway, does it say who's president?
Clinton.
Okay, good. Excellent. So anyway, moving past that, it's good to talk to you without a chaperone for once.
Yeah.
We had BJ Kahuna last time in our presence. Definitely check out Rock and or Roll, which I believe is a podcast. He told me.
He pulled off the it's a pretty rare feat that we both guessed on another podcast trying to line up the schedule. So I don't know what his magic power is, but kudos, BJ.
It's the power of Motley Crue, Girls, Girls, Girls. He has a whole series coming out sometime between now and the end of time. I believe he banks episodes a little behind the curtain there. But yeah, so we talked about Girls, Girls, Girls.
Both of our favorite Motley Crue record, right?
Well, there's definitely more than I thought we had to talk about with that.
You
with
always that, say that, though. You're like, I got nothing to say about Van Halen 3. And lo and behold.
Yes, and we definitely had an interesting recording set up that day from a special studio. But check into the episode for that. Again, Rock and or Roll, we will post the link. And thank you, BJ, for having us on the show. Well, let's get down to business. What are we here to talk about today, Baco? How you been?
I've been great, man. You know, we're finally getting that snow you were getting about a month ago. So everything is, you know, piled with white shit fucking everywhere. And
sure,
driving's a goddamn nightmare. But I'm in my basement. I'm about ready to crack open a cold beer and talk with my buddy, Loose Cannon, who, as you know now, after listening to last week's Asshole Radio, I don't know, you're kind of an overlap between my podcast, you know, social life and my real life social life.
That's right. Again, from that episode, great. On Asshole Radio episode, by the way. Highly enjoyed listening to it. And interesting outro music, I must say. interesting. What was that song? Bang Bang by who?
Bang Bang by Jessie J featuring, oh, God, the donut licker chick. What's her name? she didn't go to the Grammys this year out of some protest. And Ariana Grande. And then, of course, fabulous rapping by Nicki Minaj. Oh, boy.
Yeah. I did like the comment, though, that at the end of that we saw on our, from Ken Mills, it just said, Bang Bang is better than, 1,000 times better than Bang Bang You by Kiss.
I agreed. I actually sort of enjoy Bang Bang Into Your Room or whatever that song is.
Yeah, I heard it and I was like, not that bad. Right?
You know, it is some pretty solid female vocal takes on there. But sure. Yeah, it's catchy. Whatever. It's garbage.
Right. It's Asshole Radio, people. Tune in.
The drunker I get, the more obscure it gets or ridiculous it gets.
But yes, we are back to the Cobra and the Fire together, whether you spell that with F-I-R-E or F-Y-R-E, whatever your preference. So let's do
this. I'm all on board of changing it, you know, Cobra and Fire.
Think about this. We'll have a mixture of Google searchers that get Monster Magnet, Firefest results, and our podcast. I think that's a good mix.
And conveniently, Ja Rule now lives in my basement. Well, as we've been kind of pimping for about a month now, we are bringing back the Buy Us a Beer program to help cover our show hosting fees this year. And we are proud to basically have our first beer.
That's right. We've had quite a few contributions so far, and we thank everybody. And you will be getting your due. But I have cracked open a delicious little something-something. Little something-something ale by Lagunitas.
Lagunitas, I believe.
Lagunitas.
And it's an unlimited release, according to the label.
Yeah, get it?
Mm-hmm. Holy fuck. It says the alcohol is
7.5.
Isn't Kearney the one that got us that alien butt piss that was like 10%?
Yes, he did. He did get the alien butt piss about a year ago. This one, can I take your review first?
Well, I'd have to open it. Let's see.
Okay, I'll do mine.
Hold on, I got to run to the bottle opener on the back end of the studio here.
Okay.
Hey, hold on. Maybe the mic will pick this up. Ooh, I think it did.
Ooh, oh, it did. Boy. Yeah. In my band days, what's happening to my beer, Treble would call a volcano. It's where the foam blows up over the top of the beer bottle.
That's how you know it's good.
Mm. Oh, boy. This has to be the first beer of the day, huh?
I know. This is not a, on my end, 10:37 a.m. beer, let me tell you.
It's not bad, but it's a pretty hearty fucking beer. Jesus.
Oh, yeah. No, and for somebody that actually likes the IPAs, this is pretty thick. Lagunitas, never been my favorite, but this one is... It's decent, but it will take you down. This is no more than a tour.
This is a tongue coater, though, too.
It is. And what's the alcohol again you said on the side?
7.5.
And the IBUs, surprisingly, are only 64.2, which is bullshit. This feels like about 110. Very, very bitter.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jason. Anybody else out there, feel free. Hit our little GoFundMe page for $5. You can buy us a beer. We'll take a picture of us drinking it in the studio while we record, post it on Facebook. We'll talk about it, and we'll mention your name. And the real important thing here, though, is that you're just chip. You know, it's only $5, and it helps us pay for our show hosting fees for the year.
That is correct. So thank you, Jason. Even though I am not completely thrilled with it, I am thrilled that you're a listener that likes to get us drunk. So thank you.
Yeah. So and he always has interesting selections, so keep them coming.
He does. Please, bring it.
See you next year, Jason. And other than that, other ways you can help support the show is to find us and share us, like our page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/cobrasandfire. You can follow us on Twitter or at Cobras Fire. And just Google us, type in Cobras and Fire podcast. You'll find us all over the place, Podchaser, iTunes, Spotify. I don't know, almost every podcast app that I've downloaded, we appear on. So, yeah, just find it, share it, listen, let us know what you think. And join our group, the Cobras on Fire on Facebook. Just type Cobras on Fire, search groups, and throw us a request and we'll bring in. We keep it private because we keep it dark. And, Luis, why don't you tell them where they can go if they want to buy us a beer for $5?
Of course, if I can remember it. I've drank half of this a lot faster than I thought.
I'm finishing today's episode on the floor.
God, Kearney! We might have done. You may have been like, hey, they're not being very nice. It's at least effective.
Is there a tree down here? It's a lot more comfortable. The room is moving.
Anyway, so the link is gofundme.com/absolutelydrink. Or it's linked right from the Shop Now tab on our Facebook page.
Today's music is brought to you by Loose Cannon. I'm not pick. I picked all the songs on Asshole Radio, so you get to run the show today. Any type of theme going with what we're going to hear today?
Yeah, I'm going to do a complete 360 and come to the show organized.
Ooh, that's kind of your go-to move, the 360.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the right degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. So yeah. So I have come with a theme of that every song is either a band or the song itself that's inspired from a podcast I've listened to lately. So check in the show notes and we'll name check both the artist's song and what podcast that I heard it on. And so that's a way to give back to our fellow podcasters and check out their shows, because they're shows that I definitely, that at least I endorse. And I assume that Baco at least thinks they're not that bad.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. So yes, that's the theme. But what are we here to talk about?
We have a lot of things to get into today. I mean, we have to touch on that whole Fyre Fest at some point, the Super Bowl halftime show. And I just went to a concert and a play recently. I'd like to share some of my anecdotes on that, if I might.
Can we start with that, please?
Sure,
anytime
yeah.
You say, anytime I imagine Baco to play, I'm ready for it.
A night at the theater. Yes, I spent back-to-back nights on dates in Minneapolis. On Friday night, I had a date with our boy Gene Vogel. that was a mandate, okay?
Uh-huh.
Unfunded sure. mandate, as the government likes to say.
Did he slip you the mortificator?
yeah, he had after a couple drinks. Yeah, you don't have to ask too many times. Okay. So Gene, who was a guest on our show last October for the Black Sabbath spectacular we did, also has his own podcast, Disciples of the Watch. Check that out if you want to hear him break down some, I don't know, pretty obscure metal stuff. But Corrosion of Conformity, you just saw them. They came to Minneapolis, and I really don't have a lot of friends that are into Corrosion around here, so I gave Gene a buzz, and sure enough, he was down. So we actually met up at a bar about a block away, and let me just set the scene here. So it turns out that this country fuck, Eric Church, was playing at the Target Center. And in the Target Center and the Fine Line, where Corrosion of Conformity were playing, are on the same block, about two blocks apart. And there was this bar on the corner that's kind of a, I don't know, it's kind of a sports bar. We met there. And it's literally almost in between the two places. So this place was filled with all these woohoo girls getting fucked up, ready to go see Eric Church. And
define a woo-woo girl again for me?
Yeah, they typically get, like country music. But yeah, they do shots and go, woo! You know, they might be wearing a cowboy hat or not. They're usually dressed fairly scantily. The level of attractiveness varies. But it's basically just girls going out for a girls' night, getting fucked up before a country show. Because if you're not hammered, you can't enjoy that shit. So, especially Eric Church. By the way, Eric, cultural appropriation of the devil horns is not cool, bro. You want to be metal, play metal. You chose country. Just deal with it. But back to the woo girls.
I think that, but unfortunately, I think you described many of our listeners at about halfway through a fest day.
Yeah, well, yeah. No, yeah. If it sounds like I'm being critical, I'm not.
Level of attractiveness varies. You get fucked up before the concert. You're a woo-woo man.
Yeah, I don't see... Let me put it this way, if this makes sense. Yes, people get drunk at all concerts of all varieties, right? But there was this country guy, he talks like this. I can't remember his name, I'm sorry. But he played the night before Metallica did at the U.S. Bank Stadium here. And the night of his show, all the after... show comments where bathrooms were too crowded, they ran out of beer, and no discussion about the show at all. And all the sure. Metallica fan audience, the large perception was Metallica kicked ass. They didn't talk about the fact that they ran out of beer or I'm just saying there's a different level here. I think the Metallica fan might start drinking at the show, where the woohoo girl wants to get hammered at about 3 and then stumble into the Target Center. Yeah, as a matter of fact, they said they were getting an Uber. I'm not kidding. They had to cross. We were on the corner, and Target Center is on the other corner. You literally cross the street.
Well, so that's because they're wearing. Now I understand it. You know why, though? It's not because they're drunk. It's because they're wearing unsensible shoes. That's the other part about it.
You must have seen them try to cross the street in the snow. Yeah, they were not. They were not wearing sensible shoes for the night, or they weren't dressed very sensibly too. But that might have been for our benefit. They did buy us a shot, but just one. I don't know if they thought that we were going to share it—a shot of Jameson. But I was like, I'm not drinking anything a stranger buys me in a bar.
Come on.
It may be 20 years ago if I was single, but yeah. Gene had no problem taking it. But they also gave us their own drinks as they were leaving. Two vodka tonics.
What?
Yeah, and they were about maybe a quarter drink each. and they set him down on the table, and then they both kind of like, hold on. They take like another couple tugs on him just to get more of their money worth. It's like they bought drinks 1 minute before they had to leave or something. And Gene sucked down one of those. Yeah, like literally you can picture it, can't you? They slam that last little drink, put the glass on the table, and their arm goes in the air, and they go, woohoo!
You know, over the Yoo-hoo girls.
Woohoo.
Over the Yoo-hoo Woohoo girls, I enjoy the You Can Do It girls. Hmm. Do you know these girls?
I do not. Who are they fans of?
Aaron Lewis, of course.
You can do it!
They're a much better breed. And I must say that they definitely got involved with a recent concert with Aaron Lewis, if you saw the news. Did we not call this like 5-6 years ago, even before I started the show?
One of your first stories that we got into was Aaron Lewis losing his shit because people weren't, sitting like a Japanese audience, you know, patient and quiet.
Shoes off, waiting for their meal. I just loved hearing that. It was validation for our show.
And how does that guy handle woohoo girls, huh?
Why, he's losing shit. Yeah, he can't have You Can Do It girls there. He can't have woohoo girls there. What specific person is perfect for the Aaron Lewis show?
Someone who's deaf? Asleep? Maybe Aaron Lewis can just hand out Ambien at the door of all of his shows, and then no one will interrupt him. Oh, they might, actually, huh? Some of the side effects.
Yes, his ticket comes with a rules of engagement list of what you're allowed to do at the show. And immediately how you can get evicted. This is a scroll. I mean, Tool doesn't allow you to film.
Yeah.
Aaron Lewis doesn't allow you to speak.
Yeah, if you're a mouth breather, you're not allowed in. No,
just make it fun.
It's too loud.
It's
man noises, so you're out loose.
Stretching. I do like that it's all quiet. You just hear me cracking my back.
Yeah, it's like.
Oh, not that you care. I'm not the only one with whom these feelings I share.
God, this Lagunitas is fucking killing me already. I'm feeling entertained.
Yeah, I'm already onto the Coors Light. I can't take anymore.
I have to do a water in between this. I'm going to be hungover before noon.
But yeah, we went to Corrosion. Corrosion was pretty good. The most of the night, though, it's just not a really good club. I've been to this place one time, but I was like... They had to make some changes because it was like a knee-high stage and all this stuff. And they still had that. There was no place for me to shoot the band. So I had to, like, shoot from the side of the stage, kind of clusterfuck. Thankfully, there's only one other photographer, so there's only two of us kind of, like, trading out the only good spot, if you even want to call it that. Just kind of small. Not surprised it sold out because maybe it holds about 300-400 people. But, yeah, I don't know. It was overall, it was a good night. It was good to hang with Gene a little bit. We ended up talking for about an hour before the show, so that was kind of nice to actually see him in a social environment and not just sit in my basement and where he seems to have a panicked expression on his face for the entire 4 hours.
Did he have a more inflection in his tone?
I should mention he had an epic rant about our Canadian brother.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'd like to invite him back on the show at some point where he can relive it. And when you're at a table with me in a bar and you're the loud one, you're loud.
Hey! I can't even imagine him being loud. Of course, he is the lead singer of Mortificator.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, he's got that kind of, you know, he's a very, I don't know, how would you describe his talking style? I mean, it's very, you know, understated.
It's very focused and organized, and he thinks a lot before he speaks, unlike us.
Yeah. His brain processes what's coming out before it comes out.
He considers saying things and not saying things. It's not just like an unfiltered, just brain dump of words and things that you wish you could take back. And then I'm guessing it just, you know, as the night goes on, he still has that as his core, but he gets more and more excited. And that's Gene.
He was so riled up over LaFonzi that I was just shocked. I mean, this is only my second social interaction with him, really, and so, you know, there's a lot of learning to get to know. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, I was like, hell yeah, preach on. You know, but
I'm just proud of the fact that we have riled up our audience on an insignificant cause.
Yeah, well, that's our place in life, Luce.
It really is.
It's to get middle schoolers calling female squish and to have people angry at podcasts.
Hey! But if I understand it, we saw the same show. They have like three opening bands and then Corrosion of Conformity, which I really enjoyed. I thought they sound great. I'm a big, much bigger Corrosion fan than you are, but they did have a few openers, correct?
I definitely think you're a bigger fan, but do you have to use the word much? I mean, that kind of insults me, man.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Slightly bigger? More than slightly, but less than much.
I don't know where we're going here exactly. You know what? This debate is already sponsored by a little something mail. Jason, as time is going by, my review of this beer is getting better.
It's going to be a one-segment show, two songs. Thanks, Jason.
My point is they had the three opening bands, and that the thing that almost made me fall on my chair was that you said that you tried to miss the bullet that was the band Weed Eater, but it turned out that they were the last band before Corrosion. Am I correct?
Yeah, they showed up late. Turned out we thought we were missing Weed Eater. No, Weed Eater was late, and Crowbar let them switch with them.
Right, but I need to let you know that is not a isolated incident.
Hmm.
Same thing happened here in Denver. I did the same thing. I went to an event, actually a work event, and specifically stayed there much longer than I wanted to, just to avoid those opening bands. I get there, same thing. Weed Eater's late. You know why? Because they fucking eat weed. They're wasted. They're slow. They're sloths. They're a doom weed band. You watch them play, and it's like the drummer is slowly thawing every moment of his playing style.
Yeah, I actually terrible commented band to Gene that the drummer really enjoys the ride cymbal. There was one song where he was just hitting that nonstop. Like, is there no change in this?
Yeah. I'll never get it. Whoever's into the extreme doom slow play is like 100 times slower than Black Sabbath.
Were there people there to see him? Because there were at our show, and their merch moved really good.
Well, then maybe they are not. Maybe they have just moved. Crowbar is the only one that actually knew. The point being is that seems to be a consistent thing. Either they're becoming more popular and they've moved them to the opening spot.
No, they acknowledged it from the stage.
They did for Ray, too. They said that
Crowbar for letting them switch with them.
All right. Here's the thing. This is a public service announcement. Corrosion of Conformity. If your fucking opening bands keep showing up late, fire them. We don't want to see them. I don't need to see you playing at 11 o'clock at night on a school night. And actually, on the Corrosion Conformity show that I saw,
school night,
I had quite a giggle because on stage, Pepper did say, thanks for sticking with us starting late on a school night. Thanks for at least acknowledging the old fucks in the audience like me.
If only he could do something about that.
Exactly.
Right? Start the show an hour earlier.
To segue from the Gene comments, he's commented on the page something the fact that great show despite the fact that Luce continuously tries to derail it. So I'm going to give it back to you to actually tell the story that you wanted to say.
Well, the following night, about two blocks the opposite direction, we went to see the Rock of Ages play. My wife has been a big fan of the movie. She's always wanted to see the play. I'll admit I didn't hate the movie, but you know, not really my thing. You know, I don't like musicals that much. I guess if I got to sit through one, that one was okay. Kind of my thought here, too, is like, well, if I got to go see a play, this seems like something I could handle. And I will say this. Sure. I enjoyed it. I thought it translated a lot better. When I watched the movie, I always felt like, you know, this was like a representation of the 80s metal. If you were, to me, it always felt like they portrayed 80s metal scene the way Saved by the Bell would if they had an 80s metal, if they had like a hard rock character, you know what I mean? It was just kind of like this generic kind of thing, you know, like a lot of...
Sure.
Now, it's easier to accept that, I guess, in a play than in a movie, you know what I mean? Because you don't... In a movie, you're looking at fucking Tom Cruise, and he's supposed to be the reigning, you know, 80s hair metal god.
And he's 50.
Yeah, he's 50 years old.
he's hell in shape for 50, but he's still 50 years old.
But he's old man in shape. You know, kind of how, like, you ever notice how Richie Sambora always looked like that guy who's, like, not in shape but in shape? Tom Cruise, it's like when he took his shirt off, it was kind of like this weird, you know, old man kind of body still. You know, it's like, oh, he's not fat, but I don't know what that is.
Are we actually talking about Tom Cruise's pecs right now?
Does that make you uncomfortable?
Can I jump in here real quick?
Yeah. You've seen the play or the movie?
No, I've seen the play. I haven't seen the movie, but I just want a quick anecdote was the fact that they filmed this, the movie, at this club called Revolution in Fort Lauderdale. And the play, and it's right by the Theater District 2 down there. So the day that I saw the play, there's tons of traffic, and I was like, what the hell is going on? So just ironically, it was the fact that we were seeing the play the same day that they actually had huge film crews out, and everybody was like waiting in line to get a glimpse of Tom Cruise's old man pecs.
See, you were basically in the movie.
Let's go with that story.
Yeah, because your story kind of sounds like an Eddie Trunk tweet.
can you actually do an impersonation, since people seem to enjoy this, can you do an impersonation of Eddie Trunk recapping my experience seeing Rock of Ages?
Oh, so, but Eddie's telling it from a first-person sense or retelling your
story? First-person sense, and I believe several of his famous friends are there with him as he's experiencing it. Can you please do that?
Let me see if I can give it a crack here. You know, it was a few years ago. I was just wrapping up a conversation with Ace Frehley, and I had to hop on a plane with Ronnie James Dio to head down to Florida. And it turns out that when I was down there, they were shooting the movie Rock of Ages. And I do not need to remind you people how much I hate the term hair metal, because I don't have hair. I have a shrub. Who do you gotta bang to get UFO in this movie? They can't even throw a poster at Tower Records? There you go.
living for off the back of the beat. I can see it when she moving her feet. If you turn it up a little bit higher, gonna lose it and I'll start to perspire. I don't mind cause I'm along for the ride. I don't mind cause I'm along for the ride. I like to see her moving up and alive. I get off watching her gets me high. I don't mind cause I'm along for the ride. I don't mind cause I'm along for the ride. I like to watch her move her hips to the side. Watching her gets me high. Dance, dance, dance. I love to watch her move that body. Dance, dance, dance. I can watch it every day.
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about Firefest, and for those unaware, Firefest was a festival that was supposed to take place on a hidden Jamaican island or something like that, or in the Bahamas it was. Pablo Escobar supposedly. Supposedly once owned this outlaw island where no laws apply. Yeah, the thing is, like, I only heard about this thing as bands were canceling, and I really only remember, like, something called Good Music as a band, and then Blink-182 was one of the other acts that were going to be at this festival. We're going to find out as we peel back the layers on this that it really doesn't matter who the bands were.
Nope.
But, yeah, this was like, it was supposed to be just the festival. This is for the uber rich. I mean, you're flown there on a private jet. You're staying up in, $250,000 you're spending to have your own little bungalow. This is the VIP of the VIPs. You got
hot
your own
chicks. Hot chicks everywhere.
Personal chefs. Kylie Jenner is going around giving tugs on all the men that want one. Nice. You know, all that stuff. Who's that other chick who's famous for being naked? Emily Ratajkowski. Ratcow. She was going to be shaking her fun bags everywhere. And, yeah, if you wanted to squeeze her tits, fuck, you know, it's just going to be $100,000. But yeah. You get
fire
to squeeze
fun bags.
Fire
Working
fun
title.
Bags. So. I don't know if you recall, I mean, this kind of made the news because everything went to shit and suddenly Ja Rule was back in the public headline again, after like spending a decade away, for some reason, he was involved, but yeah, the whole thing collapsed. Private jet was sitting in coach, the luxury chefs was cheese on bread with a piece of lettuce and tomato in styrofoam. The bungalows were FEMA tents, and Pablo Escobar's island was actually a parking lot for the Sands Resort.
Yes, and all this
Sandals,
so much,
Sandals Resort.
Yes, and before we dissect this, let's start with this. How long out did they plan to have this become a reality from the first day they conceptualized it?
Less than a year, is my understanding.
5 months. 5 months is the actual answer. 5 months from event. We know from experience from our Cobra Fest that you cannot plan a fest in 5 months, right?
Yeah, we had to cancel because we just didn't have enough time.
Exactly. So word to the wise, more than 5 months, people, to plan anything, even a decent podcast.
But this is back in the news. I mean, I know like the Billy McFarland, the guy who was the main man behind everything, went to prison. But there's two documentaries. Hulu just did one and Netflix just did one. Did you get to see either one?
I saw the Netflix one. I understand you have a balanced perspective of both.
Yeah, I think they both give you like a bigger picture. You know what I mean? Conveniently, the guys at Fuck Jerry, which is apparently some PR company that got paid a lot of money in this whole deal, they worked exclusively with Netflix. So it's funny that in the Netflix documentary, at no time are they called Fuck Jerry. They're called Jerry Media. In the other one, they're routinely called Fuck Jerry by an ex-employee who feels a little bad about some of the work he did on this site.
Hold on. So you're telling me, for the listeners here, this is news to me, that the Netflix version that I saw is actually made, or they're involved with making that, the people that actually organized Firefest itself?
I think they have paid involvement, you know. Now, the Billy McFarlane took a big chunk of money to be part of the Hulu one. And he, of course, answers no question, even though they didn't pull punches. The Netflix one, it seems, kind of went a little easy on Fuck Jerry's role in this whole thing, where I think you get a bigger picture of that in the Hulu one. Now, in the Netflix one, you understand a little bit more of the background and how this Fire app was kind of the launching pad for this. So, and then, but the Hulu doc gives you a little more background. I mean, they both do a pretty good job of exposing Billy McFarlane as just a fraudster. But you realize just how much of a scam artist this fucker has been his entire life. I know once he's out of prison, he's going to be fucking people over again. But anyway, his first big thing that got him on the scene was a thing called the Magnesis credit card, which I still don't understand even what it is, because best I can tell is that if you have this card, you can buy tickets to shows that he doesn't have available to sell, and you get to you get to hang out in this apartment with him and Ja Rule and all other famous celebrities. But I mean, you have to be, you're basically offering it to people who live in a kind of close proximity to Manhattan then, you know what I mean? I really don't get the draw to that. I mean, there's better ways for rich people to spend your money. But it turns out it was all a scam anyway, and it ended up,
no, you know. You're supposed to have a preferred seats, and those seats all of a sudden would be canceled the day of the show.
Yeah, that's basically how it would go. One of his ex-employees, this is the scam he worked. He basically would sell tickets he didn't have to, a Broadway play, right? Mm-hmm. Like Hamilton. Sure. And then when the day of the show would come and he's got no tickets, he would then sell tickets to a Beyonce show that he didn't have, then go out and pay way too much to get these tickets, way more than he got for these tickets to Hamilton. And he would just kind of keep that whole process going. Once Beyonce came up, he would buy some other, sell other tickets he didn't have. Just and the whole Firefest thing. I mean, just scam after scam where he would like, oh, yeah, you need to give us so much money up front because this is a no cash event. So you'd have to put, you know, like a few thousand dollars into a special account that you would then be able to. Yeah. Wristband thing. You could buy stuff while you're at Firefest. And that was how he paid other people.
Well, it's a Ponzi scheme. It's a Ponzi scheme. There you go. Fest, essentially. Yeah. Until it ran out.
So I don't know. I mean, I found it fascinating. I don't feel bad for Ja Rule, just because he's a fucking chump. But yeah, I think we need to kind of get our own little. We need to get back in the festival game. It seems like we didn't take advantage of all the, you know, money making opportunities that were there for us at Cobra Fest. But
we really didn't. I think our preferred headliner so far from the show is Aaron Lewis. Though I'm putting him down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We need to rebrand, Lewis. We need to rebrand.
I really think we do. Cobras and Fire, FYRE.
Yeah, Cobra. Maybe. How about just Cobra Fire Fest?
Cobra Fire Fest?
Yeah, like there we go. I noticed you mentioned you already have a headliner. Look, who cares about the music, man?
True.
Enough. I'm telling you right now, we get Raven Simone to tweet about this shit. Boom.
Raven Simone, isn't that Punky Brewster?
No, you're thinking of, God, what's her name? She's Soup's hot now.
I know what you're talking about, but is that some, Raven Simone's, that's the girl from a Cosby Show.
Yeah, yes? And that's so okay. Raven, and she's a big Disney channel, but right. Huge influencer as far as I'm concerned.
So instead of going with a big orange square, what should our image be?
Orange circle.
Orange circle. Mm-hmm. Done. I'm writing notes. So far, I've got Aaron Lewis, Raven Simone, and an orange circle.
Yeah, but you shouldn't emphasize Aaron Lewis. He's a musician.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is a music fest, Lewis. Get your head out of your ass. Now, we're going to have a chef from Denny's.
Okay, Denny's.
Like a private Denny's chef. You can get your Grand Slam anytime you want.
Wait. But are you talking about any chef, or are you talking about Steve from Denny's? Because Steve should definitely be on the list.
Yeah, Steve from Denny's is going to be there cooking you, you know, at any hour
moons
of the day.
Moons over Miami.
You want a moons over Miami? Boom, Steve's got it for you.
But would that be on a plate or inside of a styrofoam square container? And we need to get this off the on the list. Will there or will there not be arugula?
There will not be arugula, and as far as the serving platter, it'll be on something that's non-biodegradable and non-recyclable.
All right, so what about the location for
this
Cobra
is the
Firefest?
Best part, Luce. Okay, I wanted something like crazy, lawless, like outlaw, sure. Like Firefest, you know. So basically, this is not in one location. It is a moving location. Basically, the entire thing is going to take place along a 40-mile stretch where Jesse James robbed a bank and then was chased by police on horseback.
Ooh, I like that.
And the whole event takes place on horseback.
Okay, the whole event is on horseback, okay?
The bands, good. The stage, the fans.
The bands are on horseback?
Yes.
Okay. Well, they use orange amps because you need that for good sound.
Yeah, well, apparently. Well, yeah, if that's a must. But again, that's part of the music, and nobody cares about that. Okay, we need right, influencers, baby. We want Raven Simone. We got that chick from Punky Brewster who's really hot now. Well, she's probably not now. She's got to be like 50. But was, you know, in the 90s there. We got all this stuff going on, man.
What about the bathroom situation?
Yeah, I just pee in your pants. So there's a thing called a stadium pal. It's actually something I invented called urinal slacks. So basically, everybody gets a pair of urinal slacks. You know, that basically just you just pee as wherever you're at.
Hold on though, but urinal slacks are just your pants, or there's something you just call them urinal slacks after?
Yeah, there's
the
a bag.
Show.
Yeah, it's like
there's a bag. Okay,
the entire lining of the pants is just one. Your pants is one big, you know, toilet bag.
Got it. Water?
You slosh around. Yeah, there won't be any water.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. And weather conditions?
You know, every other year you can probably expect some tornadoes to roll through, I think.
Okay, good. What about sleeping situations?
You know, we're going to have luxurious dirt to lay on. It'll be soft, though. You can kind of like mound up a pile and make a pillow.
You know, Baco, can I stop you?
Yeah. What?
According to a quick Google search, based on your description, this already exists, and it's called Rocklahoma.
Like you do, you've seen the worst.
So, Baco, you want to talk about the Super Bowl halftime show?
You know I do.
Yeah, I mean, today we're kind of hitting on a few things. I would say we're giving a pop culture punch in the face. And it's kind, you would say, like, isn't that kind of what you do all the time? You riff on things in culture. Yes, but I would say we actually do unpopular culture. We talk about Vinnie Vincent and things that people, the normal, except for the microcosm that is our audience, which is an awesome audience. It's not pop culture. So can we talk about the Super Bowl halftime show?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think it's okay if we dabble in it once in a while. If we can't let it take over us too much, otherwise we just become Blame Your Brother.
I think you're right. Perfect. So let's go. Great show.
Yeah, great show. I love those guys.
So, you know, the thing about this halftime show that really kind of got my old man pubes in a twist. What's the fact?
Right now, everybody's picturing you with you got a little gray bush down there.
Just wrinkled balls.
And if they weren't, now they are.
I'm four beers into the Super Bowl, bored out of my mind, and all of a sudden Adam Levine shows up on my screen. Right?
Oh, man. How far down the list did they have to go to get somebody that they ended up with Maroon 5?
You know, let's start with that, because I have my comments on the actual performance itself, and people can talk about and bust Maroon 5 and Adam Levine's balls, less wrinkled balls than mine. Are you telling me, and I didn't read that much into it, that people actually do have to pay to be on the show?
I don't know that it ever went through. I know it was being talked about a few years back, but yeah, basically the NFL wants like 10% of your tour proceeds following the event. I don't know if that's like, yeah, I wrote.
Let's just say some percentage. They want some kickback from you being the average.
Because you're benefiting from this, so they want some of that kickback. I actually wrote an article for Snark at the Moon on this where I said it's time for the government to bail out the NFL. They're clearly struggling for money that they need to, you know, tack on a 10% tax on performers' touring income for life or for a year. I don't know. It's just a joke. I mean, give me a break.
Okay, so there's that part, and then you also read.
Although if it's Maroon 5, I don't care.
That's right.
Actually, if it's anybody that's been on the Super Bowl halftime show the last 5 years, have at it. Fuck them. I don't care.
Right. But with that said, okay, so then you realize that it's maybe a pay-to-play kind of thing. You know, you're getting your product out there, which kind of to me doesn't make any sense because they're only taking the huge artists that don't need the promotion at the time. But going to your point, you're telling me, though, that a lot of people passed because of the whole knee?
Yeah, the Colin Kaepernick controversy, a lot of you know, I mean, artists tend to be more liberal thinking and look
sure.
at social causes. And they also think about the blowback from their peers. So, yeah, a lot of people. I don't remember the names that were thrown out there, but I know some people said no.
So let's get down to who they actually have on there. Maroon 5. Now, you asked me if I knew 5 songs. I know at least Sunday Morning, the fucking Dances Like Jagger song, and there's a few others too. But I think basically they at least
Harder
had
to Breathe.
What is it?
Harder to Breathe.
Oh, yep, that one. That
She
one
Will
too.
Be okay, Loved.
So, oh, there you go. See, there's 4. We're up to 4 already, okay? And I think those are all on one album.
It's
from like,
not over tonight. Just
please,
give me one
stop
more
it. Can we just get past this right now?
I was really hoping you would join in there. It would have been nice.
No,
but,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It is Sunday morning, but I will not. Okay? So the point being is the only reason – this is – first off, what gets my pubes in a twist is the fact that they're – the only reason this motherfucker is on the show is first because 50 people passed before him.
Yeah.
And the other reason is because he is on The Voice. This has nothing to do with music. And I will give you the fact that Maroon 5 actually was a band that had human beings in it that played music and had some songs like 15 years
Were
ago.
Were any of them what? There? I've never heard anybody talk about
no.
anybody but Adam Levine and Big Boy.
Point being is it doesn't really matter who the performer was. What I was appalled with is what a clusterfuck of production that this display was, to the fact that I had to leave the room because, again, too much for the old man canon to deal with. Because there was no – listen, say what you will about Bruno Mars, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, all those kind of things. At least they were a performance with shit going on, a flow – things of that. Bruno Mars, actually, I think is pretty talented for his genre.
That was probably the last one I liked, but I don't typically watch.
That's cool.
This year, I didn't see it. Me and Ron Keel hit the hot tub and had a beer during it.
Okay, getting back to reality. You know who should have been there? Ron Keel at the Super Bowl show.
I brought that up in our conversation. Coming out soon.
But let's get down to it, though, too, is that all these, however you want to say it, there's some amount of lip-syncing. I don't even care the fact that there's lip-syncing at the Super Bowl. I don't care that there's canned music. I get the fact that in 15 minutes to a half hour, whatever they have, they got to rip the entire place up and put it all up. There's no way they can make it sound good unless it's pre-recorded for the most part.
Can I make a point on that?
Yes, please. Please.
That, to me, tells you something, though. Kind of like I saw someone on Kiss FAQ say, like, if Paul was singing, you'd all be ripping him for sounding like shit. And now he can't win. I'm like, the two options are sound like shit or lip sync. Those aren't really great options. To me, kind of like this. It's like, this is a reason why you shouldn't make such a big deal out of it. Just show fucking highlights, talk about the first half, run a ton of commercials, and come back. Stop making this the event of the year. Who gives a fucking shit? Because I will tell you one thing. I could tell you who I'd want to be on there, and the people who love this would hate that. You're never going to please everybody. That's not really the point.
And that's not my point either, is about the music. The point is, I'm watching this. There's pyro, more pyro than a Kiss concert or any show on Earth, or Armageddon going on.
More makeup than your mom wore? Sorry, bad joke.
And everything's going on, and I'm like, I'm completely bored. Randomly, some rapper that apparently is banging Kylie Jenner or something like that, right?
I thought it was Big Boy from Outkast.
No, that was later. There's another guy named like Lil Something.
I don't know. Old man Baco was hot tubbing with the metal cowboy.
Watch it. It was a mess.
He's
there was
floating
nothing going on.
He's floating a Coors Light to me across the hot tub.
Hey, Baco, December 7. You know what that means. So anyway, when you were losing all sense of your moral compass with Ron Keel in a hot tub, I was watching this abomination, and I thought to myself, this is the thing, like we just said.
Were you shaking your fist?
I was shaking my fist. I was standing up, and I went to my neighbor's place. I was so mad, and I wasn't mad at Maroon 5. I was mad about the production values and all the entertainment that was going wrong. And here's my main thing. I'm going to wrap it up with this. You know what used to be the halftime show in the Super Bowl? I said I would enjoy more if the St. Paul All-Star Marching Band, and you know you love marching bands, Baco.
My favorite.
You love marching bands. Love them. I would have preferred a marching band like a normal goddamn halftime show at a football game than that henna-tattooed gimp.
Did you see he's got a tattoo of an Epiphone Les Paul headstock?
Please discuss his tattoos now.
Oh, my God. Well, for those who are guitar players know, Epiphone is the knockoff line of Gibson. It's the cheaper version. You know, it's... I don't know what to say.
He has the Kmart version.
Yes! Whatever. But, to me, make the halftime show for the people there, not for the people watching at home. And then you can just have that dog that can... You can throw 7 Frisbees out in the air and he can run all of them down. That to me is awesome.
They have all these other things where people leave during the halftime show and they watch like the puppy bowl.
Puppy bowl. Like they actually started a kitten bowl a couple years ago too.
Right.
Puppy
bowl is
a little
funner. That. I say fuck it.
Yeah.
All that shit on. You bring. It would have been less of a clusterfuck if they brought all those competing things on the field. You bring the cats, the dogs, fucking shit everywhere, piss.
Next year, I'm going to Facebook Live me and Ron Keel from his hot tub. And so you can just tune out the halftime show and watch me and the Metal Cowboy shirtless in South Dakota in February.
just a half hour. No, there's no music. It's just you, silence, awkwardness, and Coors Lights floating back and forth between the two of you. It's like performance art. Again, I want to say we don't usually have advertising, but this show is entirely sponsored by Little Something Something Mail. I wonder if you think of me.
You know, Luce, there was one thing that happened at the COC concert that kind of we've talked about from time to time over the years. And I think overall, we don't see much of this. But I was really worried that, you know, because the two openers that we saw sounded like complete ass. And I thought it had a lot to do with the room, the house PA, and where we were able to actually stand. Because this is, I'm not going to spend a lot of time painting it. It just was not a pleasurable viewing experience. But magically, is almost as if there's a button that somebody pushed. Corrosion of Conformity comes on, and it suddenly sounds like a properly mixed venue in the exact same spot we've been all night.
Well, yeah. Did they have orange amps?
All the bands had orange amps.
Well, they weren't using the orange amps.
Okay. Yeah, we're back to your dumbass orange amp theory. Why don't you catch the listeners up on that? I'm not sure we ever covered it on the show.
Sure. Okay, kids. So if you're at a concert and you see that the band on stage has orange amps, which are orange in color, you know that that person is concerned about your audio experience. They want you to have a perfect mix. They want you to hear the vocals. They want to have the bass have the right punch, the drums. You want to have an excellent concert experience. And that is brought to you completely by orangeamps.com. You want to go to orangeamps.com/Cobra's Fire to get 10% off your new amp purchase.
Dear God. I'm not sure you understand what mix means.
I do know what mix means, and yeah. That means that anybody that has orange amps, I don't care if the orange amps are the magic pill or not, those people give a living fuck because it's not just the stoner. I know your argument, so I'm going to pre-argue your argument.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You say it's a lot of – yeah.
That is not fair and balanced.
Is it? Okay, then go do your arguments first.
Orange is a quality amp, and if you're doing kind of stoner rock, it seems to be the go-to thing. But it is not the only quality amp out there, and it is not the reason a mix sounds good.
I didn't say that was the reason. You're saying that that's what I think is the reason.
Well, the other bands all used orange amps, and they all sounded like shit.
They didn't use them. They were sitting there. They're props. You think that COC allowed the usage of their special orange colored amps?
Well, you mentioned orangeamps.com. Believe it or not, they sell those amps to anybody.
Nope.
So in other words, if you want one, you can buy one, Luce. You don't have to be Corrosion of Conformity.
Yeah, but you also don't have to care. It says right on their thing, too, it says, will not sell to Weed Eater.
Yeah, well, they were using them.
They weren't using them. They just were on stage. It's the same thing as other things. Do you think the opening band uses all the shit you see on stage for the headliner? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Well, it's amazing you mentioned this. As someone who's, you know, been in a band for 20 years and played shows with other people and shared a stage with them, I have no concept of the idea that an amp for another band is on stage. I cannot tell the difference between amps that are behind the amp that they're playing and the one they're playing through. You're right.
Decoys. Those are the decoy amps, as I understand the industry they're called.
Well, they definitely bands use cabinets for imagery at certain points. But, yeah, when a guitar is plugged into a guitar head, you can tell. There's like a cable that goes from the head right to the guitar. It's like almost like they're fastened together.
All right, so you're just telling me there's a magic button.
This is the old school kind of sound guy thing where the opening bands don't get the full PA, they don't get a proper mix, and that way the headliner sounds better than the opener. You don't see as much of it as you used to, but it was real common in the 70s and 80s, and well, I guess I assume in the 70s. I saw my first concert in the 80s, but I think by the late 90s it was kind of dying out.
Let me break this down to the listeners. When I'm you know our show, I want this segment to be called Luce Cannon's Optimism, okay? And that is that when you are at a show and you see orange amps on stage, the chances that you're going to have a great experience when the headliner hits are pretty goddamn good. And let me give you some examples, because one of your arguments was, what are orange amps used for primarily as far as for what type of bands?
You know what? The orange amp is a hipster amp. But, yeah, they are used a lot in stoner metal. I don't know that I would say that's primarily it.
Let me tell you, again, this is my theory, and test it out at home, kids, when you go out for your concert experience. And that is that when you see an orange amp, that means maybe it's not the amp itself, but somebody in that band is concerned about your well-being as a fan and a music enthusiast. Because here are the bands that have orange amps. Now, you could say Clutch is a stoner band. I'll go with that, sort of.
Yeah.
So Clutch is one of them I've seen sound perfect every time. Stone Temple Pilots, the reboot version that we saw.
Let's see how many Orange Jams Clutch has when they have to start paying for them.
Darkness had them on stage. Definitely not a stoner band. Red Sun Rising and Mustache.
Yeah, those are the five. When I think of like a band that cares about the art, I always go right to the Darkness.
See, you have a thing about any band that has a sense of humor, unlike, which is really odd because you have a great sense of humor. The Darkness, great fun, great experience. I have no idea if they're a joke band or not, but they sound fucking great and they're entertaining. I rest my case.
Luz, get your head out of your ass.
All right. You want to get out of here?
Yeah, let's get out of here.
Rock's not dead.
It's waiting for someone to rescue it from a festival in the Bahamas.
No arugula, people.
Did I convey that message, though, that that was my disappointment? God, I'm a little numb in the head right now.
I'm telling you, this fucking beer, I've had it before. It lies about the alcohol percentage. I am telling you right now, it lies.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.